Linda is the medical student on your hematology service whom you asked to review a peripheral blood smear. You overhear Linda saying, "Wow, look at this neutrophil." She continues to point out the many nuclei the neutrophil has and comments on how big the red blood cells are. Sally, the patient whose blood smear Linda is reviewing, is a 50-year-old woman admitted from hematology clinic with fatigue, low blood count, and numbness and tingling of the lower extremities. On physical examination, Sally has decreased sensation to pinprick and vibration of the legs. Her hemoglobin is 9.6%, MCV is 118. What are your next steps in Sally's management? Hi and welcome to AudioBricks. I'm Alex Dennis, and this is the brick on megaloblastic anemia. Let's jump right in. After completing this section, you'll be able to 1. Describe the pathogenesis of megaloblastic anemia. 2. List common causes of B12 and folate deficiency and associated non-hematologic symptoms of each. 3. List and understand the characteristic complete blood count values in megaloblastic anemia. 4. Describe and identify the morphologic changes present in the blood and bone marrow in a patient with megaloblastic anemia. And 5. Describe the treatment of megaloblastic anemia. Megaloblast is the key word in this episode. The root blast, from Greek blastos, meaning germ or bud, may be somewhat familiar since we talk about blast cells, which are very young hematopoietic precursor cells, in hematology. And megalo, from the Greek megas, meaning large or great, is also used fairly frequently, as in splenomegaly, enlargement of the spleen. So does megaloblast just mean a large, immature cell? We'll answer this question and many more in this discussion of megaloblastic anemia. Part 1. What causes megaloblastic anemia? The underlying problem in megaloblastic anemia is impaired DNA synthesis. When DNA synthesis is impaired, cell nuclei mature more slowly and cell division is delayed. However, RNA synthesis in megaloblastic anemia proceeds normally, so the cytoplasm of the cell matures at a normal rate. This asynchrony between nuclear and cytoplasmic development results in cells that are abnormally large because the cells take longer to divide, with immature nuclear features such as fine chromatin and mature cytoplasmic features such as hemoglobin production. These large, weirdly maturing cells are called megaloblasts, and because we're talking about maturing hematopoietic cells, we'll see megaloblasts only in the bone marrow. So the word megaloblast doesn't just refer to large, immature cells, but to cells that are large with immature nuclei and mature cytoplasm. Megaloblastic changes are most easily visible in erythrocyte precursors, but they are present in neutrophil precursors too. Although you won't see megaloblasts in the blood, there are some other unusual changes that are present in the blood that help you make the diagnosis. We'll talk about these in a bit. Let's kick off this episode with a quick review question. What is the underlying problem in megaloblastic anemia? The underlying problem in megaloblastic anemia is impaired DNA synthesis. And on that note, the leading causes of impaired DNA synthesis in megaloblastic anemia are a deficiency of vitamin B12, also called cobalamin, folate, which is vitamin B9, or both. Dietary B12 is complex to animal-derived proteins, so a strict vegan diet can cause its deficiency, although that's pretty rare. In addition, B12 requires a healthy GI tract to be absorbed, so gastrointestinal diseases such as pernicious anemia, gastrectomy, ileal resection, inflammatory bowel disease can also cause its deficiency. Finally, infections with the fish tapeworm Diphyllobothrium latum, which absorbs B12 before the ileum can, and certain drugs like antacids, metformin, and nitrous oxide can also cause B12 deficiency. Moving on to folate. So folate is obtained from eating greens and is absorbed in the jejunum. So it's easy to understand that specific causes of folate deficiency include nutritional deficiency and poor diet, think substance abuse, alcoholism, poor dietary intake, malabsorption, like is seen in celiac disease or IBD, drugs, for example, methotrexate and trimethoprim, and in conditions that increase folate requirement, like pregnancy and hemolysis. Let's pause here to make sure we're on the same page. What vitamin deficiency can ileal resection cause? Since vitamin B12, or cobalamin, is absorbed in the ileum, ileal resection can cause B12 deficiency. In contrast, vitamin B9, or folate, is absorbed in the jejunum. What makes deficiency in either of these vitamins result in megaloblastic anemia is that both of these vitamins are necessary for DNA synthesis. It follows that the most affected cells are those with rapid turnover rate, such as hematopoietic cells and cells in the enteric lining, because they have the highest rate of DNA synthesis. Let's look now at what role these vitamins play in DNA synthesis. Forewarning, what we're about to tackle is pretty biochem heavy, and you'll probably have to brush up on it every time you look back at megaloblastic anemia. That being said, here's one way that's been helpful for me to broadly remember it. In cells with a high rate of DNA synthesis, I think of the aspect of DNA synthesis that involves vitamin B9 and B12 as a hot potato game. It goes more or less something like this. In order to make thymidine for DNA synthesis, an enzyme has to convert DUMP to DTMP. DUMP then starts out with the hot potato. In order to convert DUMP to DTMP, that enzyme has to take a methyl group from a B9 cofactor. So now, the hot potato is in B9's hands, and it has to get rid of it to be able to make more DTMP. So it passes the hot potato on to B12, which again passes it on. Well, the goal of the game is for the hot potato never to end up anywhere in the chain higher than B12 or you lose. And by that I mean DNA synthesis is inhibited. Let's look at specifics now since we have the general gist. The active form of folate that acts as the one carbon donor is 5-10-methylene tetrahydrofolate, THF, which I'll just call methylene tetrahydrofolate. Methylene tetrahydrofolate gives its methyl to thymidylate synthase, leaving folate in its DHF form. Well, DHF can be converted to THF, which is tetrahydrofolate, and then that THF back to methylene THF. So it goes methylene tetrahydrofolate to dihydrofolate to tetrahydrofolate and back to methylene tetrahydrofolate. Methylene THF to DHF to THF. Three-state loop only here. Not that bad. Methylene tetrahydrofolate, then, is our necessary cofactor for nucleic acid synthesis. Alright, let's stop here to see if you're still with me. After 5-10-methylene tetrahydrofolate gives its methyl group in the process of making DTMP, what form is folate left in? After the thymidylate synthase catalyzes its reaction, folate is left in the DHF form, which can subsequently be converted to THF and THF back to methylene tetrahydrofolate. Now, contributing to DNA synthesis is the most important thing methylene tetrahydrofolate does, but it can also become involved in other cellular pathways if the cell supply of DTMP is adequate. In other words, it represents a crossroad of different biochemical pathways. For example, methylene tetrahydrofolate can also be shuffled towards the methyl cycle to make SAM, an important methyl group donor. In that route, methylene tetrahydrofolate irreversibly exits the DNA synthesis loop we just talked about, the methylene tetrahydrofolate, dihydrofolate, tetrahydrofolate loop, that is. Well, in order to get back in that loop when DNA synthesis is needed, it needs vitamin B12. That's because vitamin B12 is a cofactor for methionine synthase, also known as homocysteine methyltransferase, and this reaction catalyzes the re-entry of folate into our loop by regenerating THF, tetrahydrofolate. When there's no B12, folate cannot re-enter the loop and becomes trapped outside of it in 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate form. And speaking of trap, that's referred to as the folate trap. And if the cell senses that there's a good bit of folate, even if it's outside the DNA synthesis loop as methylfolate, it won't bother to get more, and there will be a deficiency of biologically active tetrahydrofolate. Did that stick? Let's see here with another quick quiz question. After methionine synthase catalyzes its reaction with B12 as a cofactor, what byproduct of folate is created? Methionine synthase converts 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate to tetrahydrofolate, which can be used to generate methylene tetrahydrofolate. Woo! We get to take a breather from biochem for a moment while we compare and contrast megaloblastic anemia due to folate versus cobalamin deficiency. Okay, so let's consider the second reaction vitamin B12 is involved in. By the way, I remember that vitamin B12 is involved in two reactions only by thinking one vitamin, two reactions. It spells out 12. The second enzyme for which B12 is a cofactor is methylmalonyl-CoA mutase. This enzyme catalyzes a reaction that is crucial for myelin development. Therefore, on top of megaloblastic anemia, a B12 deficiency will also result in impaired myelin production and have distinct clinical implications, which is a sharp, telltale difference from B9 deficiency. The neurological defects seen in B12 deficiency are due to abnormal myelination and result in degeneration of the dorsal column, lateral cortical spinal tracts, and spinocerebellar tracts. This complication is called subacute combined degeneration. Symptoms of subacute combined degeneration may include paresthesia of the hands and feet, ataxia, and hyperactive deep tendon reflexes with associated loss of vibration and positional sense. Recall that folate deficiency, in contrast, does not result in neurological defects because folate is not involved with methylmalonyl-CoA mutase. Quick pause here for a review question. What are the two enzymes for which cobalamin acts as a cofactor? The two enzymes would be methionine synthase and methylmalonyl-CoA mutase. These are the only two reactions B12 is involved in. Another difference between B12 and folate deficiency is the time it takes for patients to become symptomatic. Our bodies have a large store of vitamin B12, and it usually takes years of reduced dietary intake to produce symptoms of deficiency. On the other hand, folate deficiency may present in as little as 4 to 5 months. Folate and vitamin B12 deficiencies are not the only route to megaloblastic anemia. Orotic aciduria is another much less common cause of megaloblastic anemia. This is an autosomal recessive defect in pyrimidine synthesis due to deficiency of uridine monophosphate synthase, which results in an inability to convert orotic acid to UMP. It typically presents in children with symptoms such as developmental delay, intellectual disability, failure to thrive, and megaloblastic anemia that is refractory to vitamin B12 and folate supplementation, because it is not caused by a deficiency of these vitamins. All right, another question. What are some of the differences between folate and vitamin B12 deficiencies? Deficiency of vitamin B12 will produce neurological deficits that will not be seen in folate deficiency. Furthermore, it only takes 4 to 5 months for folate deficiency to become symptomatic, whereas for B12 deficiency, it'll take years. Part 2. Diagnosis. As with other forms of anemias, the diagnosis of megaloblastic anemia is based on a combination of clinical history, symptoms, and lab tests. One characteristic clinical sign of megaloblastic anemia due to B12 deficiency is glossitis, which in B12 deficiency presents as an enlarged, beefy, shiny tongue, sometimes given the unfortunate name cow tongue. In addition, patients with megaloblastic anemia due to B12 deficiency may have neurologic symptoms, as mentioned earlier. On the complete blood count, megaloblastic anemia is macrocytic, meaning the mean cell volume, or MCV, is greater than 100 femtoliters. A high MCV alone is not diagnostic because there are other causes of macrocytic anemias, such as alcoholism, that are non-megaloblastic, meaning DNA synthesis is normal. That being said, severe macrocytosis, where the MCV is greater than 115, is almost always associated with megaloblastic anemia. The characteristic diagnostic features of megaloblastic anemia are found on the peripheral blood smear and on a bone marrow biopsy. So you only need a blood smear for diagnosis. Bone marrow biopsy is not required. But because we know what is seen in the bone marrow in this disease, let's go over it. The blood smear shows oval macrocytes, which are enlarged, oval-shaped red blood cells, and hypersegmented neutrophils, with nuclei containing over 5 lobes. It's hard to evaluate the MCV by just looking at a blood smear, because the variations in MCV and anemia are not big enough to cause noticeable, visible changes in the red cells. You can, however, see oval macrocytes because they are oval and much bigger than the surrounding cells. And of course, hypersegmented neutrophils are really obvious because they have so many segments in their nucleus. In the bone marrow, the red blood cell precursors are gigantic and they have nuclei that are immature for the stage of development of cytoplasm because DNA production is impaired due to the B12 or folate deficiency, but RNA production is moving along just fine. These cells are called megaloblasts, hence the name megaloblastic anemia. You can also see gigantic metamyelocytes because the same impairment in DNA synthesis is going on in the neutrophil precursors as well. Once a diagnosis of megaloblastic anemia is made, the next step is determining the cause by measuring serum B12 and folate concentrations. The normal serum folate level is greater than 4 nanograms per milliliter, and less than 2 nanograms per milliliter is highly suggestive of deficiency. For vitamin B12, greater than 300 picograms per milliliter is considered normal, while less than 200 is consistent with deficiency. If results are borderline, but suspicion for B12 or folate deficiency remains, the next step should be evaluation of serum levels of metabolites methylmalonic acid, or MMA, and homocysteine, which will accumulate due to decreased rate of metabolism. Both MMA and homocysteine will be elevated with vitamin B12 deficiency. Methylmalonic acid is the starting metabolite of the methylmalonyl-CoA mutase enzyme, while homocysteine is the starting metabolite of methionine synthase enzyme. Both of these enzymes are blocked without B12, so these metabolites accumulate. In contrast, only homocysteine is elevated with folate deficiency because folate is not involved with methylmalonic acid reactions. Did you get all that? Let's check with a question. What two metabolites can be measured if there is a suspicion of B12 or folate deficiency? Serum levels of methylmalonic acid and homocysteine can be measured. Elevation in both would suggest a B12 deficiency rather than a folate deficiency. There is a special cause of vitamin B12 deficiency called pernicious anemia, which is due to autoimmune antibodies directed against the parietal cells of the stomach. The parietal cells produce intrinsic factor, which is required for B12 absorption in the terminal ileum. Long story short, it's like B12 does a relay race. In the mouth, B12 binds a salivary protein, from which it dissociates later with the help of pancreatic enzymes in order to be able to bind intrinsic factor, which allows for B12's absorption in the ileum. A lack of parietal cells results in a lack of intrinsic factor and therefore a B12 deficiency. The test of choice for diagnosis of pernicious anemia is detection of serum anti-IF antibodies, IF being intrinsic factor. Before moving on to our last section, let's stop for a quick review question. How do we distinguish vitamin B12 and folate deficiency using laboratory tests? We distinguish B12 and folate deficiency by measurements of MMA and homocysteine concentrations. B12 deficiency will result in elevation of both MMA and homocysteine, while folate deficiency will result in elevated homocysteine but normal MMA. Part 3. Treatment of megaloblastic anemia. As with all forms of anemia, it is important to determine and address the underlying cause of the anemia before giving replacement therapy. For folate deficiency, treatment is simply folic acid replacement, 1 to 5 mg per day orally, for 1 to 4 months until the hematologic abnormalities seen on CBC resolve. Once the hematologic abnormalities have resolved, folic acid doses of 0.2 mg per day may be supplemented for prevention of deficiency. However, it is important to rule out vitamin B12 deficiency in patients with megaloblastic anemia. Folic acid supplementation may actually reverse the hematologic abnormalities of B12 deficiency, but it will not reverse the neurological symptoms. For vitamin B12 deficiency, treatment is intramuscular vitamin B12 injections. If the underlying cause is not due to a dietary deficiency, for example, like in pernicious anemia or ileal resection, patients may require supplemental B12 for life. Vitamin B12 supplementation may be given to prevent deficiency in populations that are at risk, namely people who follow a vegan diet, patients after gastric surgery, or patients exposed to nitrous oxide during anesthesia. Nitrous oxide inactivates vitamin B12. All right, that does it for this break. Let's see what we're taking away from this episode. What cellular process is inhibited in megaloblastic anemia? And what are two specific etiologies of this condition? Megaloblastic anemia is a type of microcytic anemia that results from impaired DNA synthesis. The leading underlying causes are a deficiency of vitamin B12, or folate, or of both. What are some common causes of B12 and folate deficiency? Folate and vitamin B12 deficiency can occur for a variety of reasons, including dietary, gastrointestinal, or medication-related. How will a megaloblastic anemia from vitamin B12 deficiency present differently than one from folate deficiency? Deficiency of vitamin B12 will produce neurological deficits that will not be seen in folate deficiency. Furthermore, a folate deficiency develops quicker than a B12 deficiency, which takes years to develop. What changes in red blood cell parameters are expected in megaloblastic anemia? On the CBC, a low hemoglobin concentration with an elevation of mean corpuscular volume, which is the MCV, of greater than 100, is one of the hallmarks of megaloblastic anemia. What findings on blood smear are classic for megaloblastic anemia? On blood smear, a combination of macrocytosis with hypersegmented neutrophils is pathognomonic for megaloblastic anemia. How is megaloblastic anemia treated? Treatment of megaloblastic anemia is directed towards addressing the underlying cause of the nutritional deficiency and replacement of the appropriate vitamin. It is important to distinguish folate from vitamin B12 deficiencies because folate will not reverse the neurological damage caused by B12 deficiency. And now, armed with your newfound knowledge, let's think back to a patient from earlier on in this episode. Thinking back to the patient Sally, who came in with low blood count and numbness and tingling of the lower extremities. On physical examination, Sally has decreased sensation to pinprick and vibration of the legs. Her hemoglobin is 9.6%, MCV is 118. Your med student has confirmed that the peripheral blood smear is showing many nuclei in the neutrophils and elongated red blood cells. What blood tests will you order? How will you explain the sensory symptoms to Sally? You congratulate Linda, the medical student, for discovering the classic findings of megaloblastic anemia: microcytosis and neutrophils with nuclei containing greater than 5 lobes. You explain that now she needs to determine whether this is caused by B12 and/or folate deficiency. Blood levels are ordered. B12 is low and folate is normal. Sally asks why, in addition to feeling tired, she has these funny feelings in her legs, to which Linda explains that B12 is necessary for the production of the coating on nerve fibers, and this production is impaired if B12 isn't around, causing nerves to degenerate. She continues that the good news is that with treatment, things will improve. And with that, Sally is eager to get started. When Sally is seen in a 6-week follow-up appointment, her hemoglobin is in the normal range and her numbness and tingling have resolved. And that's all I have for megaloblastic anemia. If you liked what you heard, make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast. Your feedback continuously helps us improve. You can also get the full RxBricks experience online at www.usmle-rx.com. I'll catch you on the next one.